views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am super excited to have Rosemary Strunk with us. She is a coach and consultant and really an expert in this area of leadership blind spots, which is what we're going to be talking about today. How we can use our blind spots to actually lead us toward a brilliant culture. So let me introduce Rosemary. So Rosemary Strunk is the co-founder of Living Courageously LLC, a coaching and consulting company that helps individuals, teams, and organizations recognize and invest in their unique talents, foster a strengths-based culture, and navigate with enhanced emotional intelligence skills. As a cultural anthropologist, she is skilled at uncovering patterns of behaviors and beliefs that may be at odds with stated organizational values that stall performance and drain revenue. Rose began her career in Minneapolis after graduating from Grinnell College and Mitchell Hamline Law School in 1985. In addition to all those amazing qualifications, she is also a certified Gallup Strengths coach, a leadership vision strengths communicator, and a Six Sigma yellow belt. Rose is part of the Lawyers as Changemakers movement, the Culture Academy, and a graduate of the Search Inside Yourself Institute Mindfulness-Based Emotional Intelligence for Leaders program. She recently gave a continuing legal education course for the New Mexico State Bar Association on navigating blind spots before they become landmines, and I just love that title, and a workshop for the Northwest Equal Opportunity Association on strengths-based emotional intelligence. Welcome, Rose.
Thank you, Claudette. Welcome.
So glad you're here. This is going to be a great conversation.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I've actually been looking forward to this all week because looking forward to speaking with you, but also this topic of blind spots. Actually, literally 2 hours ago, I was in a meeting where a leader was talking about blind spots. So it's really, really timely. And what I'd love to start with is having you share with us, when we talk about blind spots, what do we really mean?
When we talk about blind spots, first of all, it's kind of a fun nomenclature for the concept itself because it's areas in which we're not aware of. And so how in the world do we become aware of them? And why wouldn't we be aware of them in the first place? Basically, blind spots are we're predisposed to them from a neurological basis. We have natural biases that are built in that have helped us survive and thrive as a species that create biases in which have, as a result, blind spots. Our filters, our social, economic, educational background create ways in which we have perspectives that's the lens from which we view the world. And so the world is going to be viewed by someone else, maybe very differently than ourselves. And if we're not aware of that, we've got a blind spot in terms of how we might impact them with our actions or words, because we're coming from our intention and filter, but they may be experiencing them very differently in terms of the impact and how they view the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have blind spots because, honestly, we're avoiding looking at the full impact of our actions on ourselves and on others because, sometimes we don't want to go through the pain of figuring out what in the world and how we are affecting others. It's just kind of easier to believe that we're right and continue on our life.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's easier to believe that we're right. And in a previous conversation you and I had, there was a way you talked about blind spots that I really loved. And it was, you know, areas that we are unknown to ourselves, but often known to others.
Right? Yes.
Like this idea that we, you know, I have a blind spot, but probably a lot of people, you know, could tell me all about it, right?
Yes, which is one of the... there's not a cure for blind spots because cure suggests that I can eliminate blind spots from my life. We're always going to have blind spots. We have them individually, as teams. We have them organizationally, as societies, in our families, etc. What we can do, though, is reduce them and become more aware of those areas so that we're seeking regular feedback from people who are going to be honest with us, for instance. We notice that how other people are receiving what we're saying, or, you know, from body language to their response. Do they close down or do they open up? That suggests, again, more awareness around impact. Back to what you were saying, we overestimate or underestimate our abilities. Now, that may be something... when I'm doing that, I'm not aware of, but you might be because you have the experience of who I am when I'm working with you as a colleague. And you're going to know, gosh, Rose just doesn't have a good sense about her related to this particular area. She thinks she's a lot stronger than she is. So a consequence of that blind spot would be I might not ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
I might also do things that someone else could do a lot better. And if I'm in a team environment, an organizational environment, I'm also taking an opportunity away from someone else to shine and contribute because of my inability to recognize, gee, I should pull back here.
Right, right. So, and it's really interesting when you said, you know, we can't cure this. We're always going to have blind spots, but we can gain more awareness. And I often, you know, when I'm working with leaders in an organization, sometimes this, when people talk about blind spots, they're really, it's like, help me get rid of them.
Right.
let's get rid of these things. And it sounds like, you know, your approach is more that we might get aware of one blind spot and then maybe another one's going to emerge because we're in a new situation. I mean, is that accurate?
Yes, it is. One of the areas that, and I use blind spots in terms of the definition, a very full vessel. Again, because it is, there's lots of ways in which it can come up. Another way that blind spots come up is when we get triggered. Triggers are a nice way of thinking about it is when you're in a conversation and all of a sudden you feel your sense of competency or identity or status or feelings are hurt or affected, and you're having an emotional response to what's going on. You can feel it usually viscerally if you're aware of what's going on in your body. You might have a rapid heartbeat. Pupils may begin to dilate. Triggers are essentially a word that we begin to use for the fact that our survival brain and our neurology has been affected. We are anticipating or have a perceived sense that there is a threat to us. So another large area of blind spots is many people don't realize they are being triggered.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they are triggered, the response in the survival brain, this is the area of the brain that developed first, is shared with our reptilian friends. It is essential to our survival. Our brain is all about making sure that we survive individually and as a species. So we have these inherent biases as well as pre-programmed anatomic systems that begin when we're not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a blind spot can be, gee, if I'm not aware of when I'm triggered, because we're not currently able to de-trigger ourselves without self-awareness and paying attention, then I'll be pulled into my survival brain, which means my options are fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that would be in a conversation in which I'm in the boardroom or in a team or talking with a colleague, I'm going to feel like I want to attack, flee, or go silent.
Right. Absolutely. And then when we get triggered, I can see how it definitely, because I work with triggers too, and how they actually create those momentary blind spots for us, right? When we're not fully aware of how we're impacting other people or where our behavior is coming from, right?
Yes.
Because
the seat of our emotions that is also the seat of our memory and motivation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it takes us out of the present too.
It definitely takes us out of the present, and we're going to presently take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this really interesting connection between triggers and blind spots, which I think a lot of people don't necessarily connect. And so I think, you know, Rose, you're sharing something that's really, really important here. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to continue this really interesting conversation. Stay tuned.
Don't you wish you had more joy in your life? Check out the new book by Robert Max Schoenfeld, For the Love of Joy, a 30-day adventure for creating joy in your life, because you deserve more joy, more love, more health, more abundance, and more life. Available now on Amazon. Get your copy today. Visit theartofpowerfulliving.com. That's theartofpowerfulliving.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself, you can't make decisions, and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Rose Strunk, who is the co-founder of Living Courageously, a coaching and consulting company. And we have been having a really interesting conversation about blind spots. You know, and today we're talking about how actually navigating your blind spots can lead you into a brilliant culture, which a little bit counterintuitive, but we'll get there. And I know, Rose, we were just before break talking about this connection between how getting triggered, which most of us are familiar with, that term, can actually create a blind spot for us in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how we don't necessarily, because we're triggered, understand that there is a blind spot. Is that true? Is that how that works?
Well, it is, because when we're in the state of being triggered, we're pulled into our survival brain. It has the capacity and does so anatomically, so without kind of our permission in a way. It will take our frontal lobe, our executive functioning brain that does reasoning and critical thinking, et cetera, as well as interprets stories and feelings. It takes that part of our brain offline.
Mm-hmm.
So the more deeply triggered we are, frankly, we don't have access to our executive functioning. And so if you think about, if I am reacting out of and doing actions out of my survival brain in our day-to-day work environment, I am likely not to be at my best and contribute and interact with someone in the most constructive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't have all my faculties available to me.
Yeah. And we see that. I am seeing that a lot in organizations and the culture work I do, mm-hmm. where people are so, in some cases, not all, but, you know, so stressed or so short on time, that's their perception, that they in some ways are coming from a triggered place a really high percentage of the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm very appreciative, Claudette, that you mentioned stress, because when we're feeling stress, that means we are in, to some extent, our survival brain. So we live in a culture in which, in a world in which we're not facing lions and tigers and bears, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a world in which the constant stimuli around us, actually in our brains, creates the sense of anticipated threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that produces stress.
It does produce stress. And we see, and so what are some of the organizational blind spots that get created because of that?
Well, so backing up in terms of just talking about an organization, to me, it has three components, kind of the stated values and aspirations of a company, the informal norms, the actual thoughts, words, and actions and behaviors of everyone, including mm-hmm. leadership. And then three, how are one and two, the aspirations and values of the company and the informal norms, reinforced or not, neglected, or there's active conflict? That gap in between what a company says it wants to do and be.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really happening, the larger that gap, the larger the stress organizationally, the bigger the blind spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a really great, succinct way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. That the gap between the stated values and what's really happening, yeah, the bigger it is, the bigger the blind spots and the stress.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I just want to make note, it's not just people's behaviors. It's the actual policies, practices, and processes. Mm-hmm. So we can have a great stated aspirational value, but actually what the structure organizationally we have in place is, it could be benign to it, or it could actually be an actual conflict.
Right. Right. It could cause an actual conflict. And I could see too, where the way you were stating this, you know, the gap between values and what's actually happening, which can include practices and policies and procedures, could cause massive blind spots, because in order for people to continue to exist, they'd have to stop looking at things.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
And if there is, from a leadership perspective, if they're not aware of blind spots and consciously looking at them and engaging for feedback, where are our blind spots, then it goes silent out there. And so you go on this merry way, actually, with this level of stress. And we know that companies that have narrowed this gap, employees and leadership are more in sync with one another, and there's more innovation and creativity, as well as a sense of well-being and playfulness and fun in that company.
And the
results are showing that these companies are wildly successful.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. Now, I can give you some examples of, like, unintended gaps, right? You never intended this gap in the first place, but you got a blind spot.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. So this is a bit of an older example, and then I'll give you something a little bit more present. A pharmaceutical company about 20 years ago recognized they were not effectively engaging with physicians about the solutions that, you know, different drugs that they had that could treat different illnesses. They just were not getting in the door and not selling those products. And for the sake of this example, let's also say that these were appropriate sales and it wasn't in the opiate area.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So this company, I think, was 38, 39. In terms of the sales force, and really struggling. So they brought in an outside consultant, because outside consultants bring in a fresh pair of eyes. They don't have the same blind spots because they're not raised in the culture in which the company is. So consultant comes in and looks at, you know, well, how they deconstruct the sales process, how are they approaching the physicians, et cetera. Well, what they found is, and this is why a blind spot can also be just very simple, is the treatment and training and the process related to engaging physicians was, when physicians asked questions, the questions were viewed as objections to be overcome.
Oh.
So, and I can tell by you saying, what did that do? It created then a sales force believing and thinking that every question that came in was an objection. It created an adversarial relationship, and it was something to overcome. They learn to argue. They, you know, whatever the different ways in which each salesperson thought would be effective to, you know, overcome, attack this objection, obliterate it, eliminate it, right? Mm-hmm. So the experience, the impact on the physicians, they did get that sense. Well, they didn't, they shut down. Their questions weren't being answered. They didn't feel seen or heard or listened to. And mm-hmm. the pharmaceutical company obviously didn't care through about what the physician cared about in terms of really understanding that they had a need for more information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So when they changed that piece philosophically and went to building a relationship, and physicians are asking for more information, this isn't an adversarial relationship. In mm-hmm. 18 months, that fundamental shift in eliminating that blind spot for that company, their sales force ended up being number one in the nation, and really began this modeling related to seeing sales in a relational manner.
That's just a really, really wonderful example, right, of how unintended some of these gaps can be, right? Everyone's well-intentioned. Yeah. They think they're doing the right thing. And then this gets set up, right? Something adversarial that was never intended to be adversarial, you know, just gets generated. And I was having a conversation with a leader earlier today who's a new CEO to a company. And he was saying, as he... And this organization has definitely some blind spots and a lot of lack of trust in their culture. And he was saying sometimes when he's on a 30-day listening tour, he calls it, he's, you know, just going around talking to people, listening to them, and has committed to not making any changes yet. And as he's listening, sometimes he'll, you know, and then he'll ask someone a question, and some people are giving him these very long-winded defensive answers when he's just actually asking a question to seek to understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he sounds like doing a good job trying to educate people and really reinforce and reassure that, no, I'm really just taking in information here, right? I'm not trying to get you, you know, it's not a gotcha kind of question. Mm-hmm. But depending on the culture, these gaps can really rise up. These blind spots can rise up at any point. And this is that your example. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That really great example. We are actually going to take a quick break. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking a little bit more about organizational blind spots, and then also how the emotional component of what happens in organizations when they don't have a good sense of their blind spots. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/globalfoundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Best-selling author, spiritual life, and business coach Joe Nunziata brings his higher energy and no-nonsense style to people who are ready to make powerful changes now. Wake up, step up, power up with a shot of Joe. Join Joe the second and fourth Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern for 30 minutes of high energy, no-nonsense, and powerful tools to make powerful changes. Visit joenunz.com. That's joenunz.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. And if you're just joining us, my guest today is Rose Strunk. And she and I are talking about blind spots and blind spots in organizations and cultures and individuals, and how these blind spots both sometimes hold us back, but also can really move us forward when we start to understand that they're actually at work and in the information they can give us. So before we dive back in, Rose, it would be so great if you could share with the listeners how they can reach you if they'd like to learn more about your work or set up a time to talk with you.
Oh, thank you, Claudette. Yeah. I am on LinkedIn under Rosemary Strunk. My website is, of course, www.living-courageously.com. So would be happy to talk with people. My cell phone too, if you want to call me directly, or text, I guess, is 505-220-1800.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. People will definitely benefit. Listeners, you'll definitely benefit from getting in touch with Rose. She's doing some really fascinating work. So I know one of the things right before the break we were talking about is how sometimes companies with the best of intentions create these gaps, right? Mm-hmm. Between what their stated values and aspirations are and what's actually happening, you know? And so one of the things that I find really interesting, and I know you and I had chatted about before, was that sometimes a blind spot in an organization, or I'm sure in individuals as well, has to do with the level of emotion, right? That sometimes organizations or people are not really honoring the emotional component of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you tell us more about that? Cause that sounds so important.
Well, you bet. I think I'll start first is that, any organization or, you know, community is, has one thing in common, and it's us. It's made up of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the DNA as social beings is that we have three fundamental needs after we take care of, you know, shelter and being able to be fed, and is being seen, loving, and being loved, being acknowledged and appreciated and heard, listened to for who we are, a sense of belonging, a feeling of safety within a community, mm-hmm. and this opportunity to contribute to something greater than ourselves. Mm-hmm. So these all have an emotional component. And we've grown up in a world in which, you know, there are bad. A blind spot is that we have named some emotions bad and mm-hmm. other emotions good. So that's a huge blind spot because, one, it's not true. Every emotion in its healthy state gives us constructive feedback that we need to learn to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then organizationally, we have created organizations and policies and procedures to essentially suggest that, well, leave all your emotions at home.
Mm-hmm.
They are not welcome here. Well, first of all, we're not able to do that because we're emotional beings. Second
right.
of all, you don't want people to do that because what we found in the latest neurobiology and neuroscience studies is that the emotional, our amygdala, the emotional, the seat of our emotions, is the seat of our memory and motivation also, as well as that it is intricately important to our evaluative systems, our judgment and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
So when that part of the brain is damaged or unavailable, we actually are unable to effectively use our executive functioning frontal lobe,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which people didn't know prior, you know, other than anecdotally. We now have the science to really begin to understand the incredible complexity of our brain. So organizationally, then, with your question, is that when we're not really recognizing that we're emotional beings, people walk in the door with this and not supporting ourselves with better skills and tools to recognize when we're triggered, to understand what emotions or wounds or things that are coming up, and then how to process through that constructively, mm-hmm. have those difficult conversations, for instance, with individuals that, gee, this isn't going well, and being curious, what's going on? We have to get better about and enlarge the container organizationally in order to, well, how do we have emotions in the workplace in a constructive way? Because that also contributes to and fuels creativity and innovation.
Definitely, definitely. And that, thank you for such, that was, that's such an important set of points that you made around we, I still go into organizations, right, where this the whole idea of emotions are foreign, right? Because we're at work, like you said, so we don't have them.
Right.
And it's, which of course, you know, I also will spend time talking about, well, no, we actually do have emotions because we're human. And
yeah.
And that's how we work. And I think the piece you were talking about, that the seat of emotion is also the seat of memory and motivation, right, is huge. And I remember reading, I can't remember the researcher, but just a study online a couple of months ago, they had been studying people who had had the emotional, I guess, seat of their brain damaged.
Yeah.
That one. And that they, what they actually ended up finding, and it was one of those unintended, you know, outcomes to the study, was that they also couldn't make decisions.
Right.
They couldn't. Yeah. It sounds like you're familiar with it. They couldn't even this decision between should I have a turkey sandwich for lunch or a chicken sandwich for lunch? Decisions that don't really matter very much. Mm-hmm. They still couldn't make.
No, exactly. Yeah. It was just profound.
Yeah. It was, it really struck me as how unbelievably important our emotions are to our ability to make good decisions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it organizationally, then, you know, there's certainly more and more studies ongoing now. But there was an interesting Korn and Ferry study done in 2013 that they looked at companies that through, you know, this rigorous process, they had evaluated the employees were more self-aware, which includes awareness of their emotions and their physical state, as well as the impact on others, mm-hmm. you know, knowing their strengths and weaknesses, et cetera. And that those companies that the greater the percentage of self-aware employees, they had better than average performance in the stock market.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Well, it is. And this, of course, is an exploding field. And in 5 years, we're going to know even more. Mm-hmm. What we can take from all of this is that ultimately, each one of us is in choice, and organizationally, we make choices every day. Do we want to make the most informed decision we can make?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be making the most informed decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if that's my aspiration, then the more self-awareness individually and organizationally, the more awareness of our strengths and weaknesses, will be more confident and grounded in what we do really well. And then we will recognize where we need support and help, because we'll be more self-aware and we'll be emotionally healthier and having a lot more fun, because it's not if stuff happens, it's when. We're humans. We're going to get triggered. We're going to discover that blind spot. Well, are we curious? Do we explore it and learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or like what you were talking about, what this new CEO is finding, we blame and we get all defended about it, and consequently stay in that mire, in that culture of blaming, and we don't grow.
Exactly. Yeah. No, mire is the right word. Mire is the right word. And that any organization I go into where I see that kind of a dynamic or that pattern in the system. Yeah. When you're mired in blame, finger pointing, right, criticism, judgment,
mm-hmm.
you've effectively stopped yourself from growing.
Yeah.
You've effectively, it just put on the brakes completely. And you shut the door to self-awareness, which, as you said, we're always at choice. So it is completely available to us at any point. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to keep talking about this emotional piece and how we can use emotions to bring even more strengths into our organizations. I'm Claudette Rowley. This is Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant, Powerful Moms Helping Everyday Women Create Extraordinary Lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the Life Creator System and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the Creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to TransformationRadio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Everybody, you're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guest, Rose Strunk. And we have been having a really interesting conversation about organizational blind spots and how we deal with emotions in organizations actually can contribute to those blind spots. And Rose, one thing we were just touching on was this idea of self-awareness, right, in companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know one of your areas of talent and expertise is the strengths perspective, right? Taking mm-hmm. a strengths perspective. And is that one way to help us understand our blind spots?
I believe that it is. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier, Claudette, and certainly we experience overall is there's a lot of stressors in the world, and many of us on a day-to-day experience are exposed to stress either in what we're feeling ourselves or others around us.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with stress is, as I mentioned before, we get into our reptilian brain, and this is a place of survival. Why I like to really focus on strengths and what we do well and where we're naturally talented in is that it begins to help us focus on the positive within ourselves, as well as the positive within others. I'm not talking about a Pollyanna, life is great, and essentially avoiding or denying or suppressing stuff that isn't going well.
Mm-hmm.
But how I view the world makes a difference. I want to bring back in something I said earlier is we have neurological biases that helped us survive and thrive as a species. One of those neurological biases is a bias towards negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got it. We're predisposed, pre-wired to have that. We also, just to mention, we are predisposed and pre-wired to have a confirmation bias, which means that not only do we like to be right, but we're going to tend and our brains filter data coming in from the outside world so that it essentially supports the belief that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that those two biases are incredibly important is it helped us keep ourselves safe when there are lions and tigers and bears around and warring factions of different humanoids.
Right.
And it also helped us be cautious in terms of, well, assessing the risk, understanding what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the success of our species, though, also happened the fact that we're very innovative and we went out and tried stuff. And the stuff that worked, well, those people survived eventually.
Right.
And that lineage did. So back to strength-based is that, so we've got these biases inside that are kind of negative. And then we grow up in a world in which, gee, you know, we're too thin, we're too fat, we're not smart enough, we didn't go to the right school. Whatever it is, we factor that in to be critical about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So the strength-based perspective really begins to invite us into positive psychology and be intentional with the focus of our thoughts and our words and actions. What do I want to feed? I want to feed what I can do well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of feeding the negativity, which is already there and it'll come up. And so I love the Gallup assessment, and there are great assessments out there. But the reason I really use strength-based assessments is that it gives people an opportunity to have a third-party assessment that talks about you have talents.
Right. Absolutely.
And it gives a common language for individuals and teams and companies and families, any kind of organization, a language in which to begin to talk about what do we do well individually as a team, build upon those talents and strengths more precisely from a development and approach point of view. And then in the areas in which we don't have some strengths, hire into those and or use our current talents more innovatively. Mm-hmm. But it becomes this consciousness about what is it that I want to continue to focus on and bring attention to and create in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I like this. It's this focusing, paying attention to and creating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes far beyond like, okay, now I know what my strengths are, right? It becomes very, very active.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because emotional intelligence, it's nothing, you know, it's great to be hauled into a class on emotional intelligence, right? Because the impact of that is, oh, you think I need more skills in emotional intelligence.
Mm.
Strength-based development is really about self-awareness, and it's a tool in all of these different things are tools in which to increase our self-awareness. And becoming more grounded in what we do well gives us a sense of confidence to move forward. And that's really important, not only for our well-being, but for success individually and as a company. People make decisions there's been some interesting studies in the sales area, not because of what information people give or that they're the expert, but oftentimes they have a genuine confidence in whatever this service or product that they're offering to you will really work for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. why people made the decision. So again, it's also the sense of confidence grounded in accuracy,
mm-hmm.
And awareness, and then self-reflection, and recognizing too that we're human. We're gonna make mistakes. We can't do it all. We need to ask for help. And when we're feeling confident in a sense of competency and self-worthiness, we're more often to also enlarge the playing field to give other people the opportunity to shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because our ego doesn't need to shine anymore, we can step back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I love that it's a very, in a way, it's a self-aware yet action-oriented perspective that you're describing. And one thing I'd love to ask you is, what's a final thought you'd love to share with listeners? Like, if there's one thing they could take away from today, what would you really like them to leave with?
I think what I'd like to leave them with is that they have something to contribute to the world.
Mm.
Everyone has talent, and everyone has strengths as well as everyone has weaknesses. And sometimes our weaknesses are not about what we don't do very well. Our weaknesses are often our blind spots related to overdoing our strengths. And mm-hmm. we're overdoing our strengths because we're really not taking in and acknowledging that they are strengths and we have talents. We're working so hard and so fast to prove ourselves because we're coming mm-hmm. out of this wound of not feeling worthy, of not being competent, not being worthy of respect and love. So that's why I started with that DNA of, yeah, you are worthy of being loved and loved, and have the courage to begin to be accountable to yourself and through that self-awareness.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful closing message. So, Rose, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today and for sharing such really wonderful, I think, inspiring and also really practical information that we can all take away and use. I'd like to thank all the listeners, as usual, for tuning into Cultural Brilliance Radio. We always have a wonderful time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks so much. See you in a couple weeks.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.